our end up, and they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Good morning and welcome to Footy Weekend on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show every week is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your host today are myself, Chris Browning, joined by Craig Bradford and Paris Fabriziani. As always on the program, we look at all the AFL and Blues news and review the remaining AFL rounds, including our tips. Special guest live interview today is WA Blues sponsored AFLW player Grace Egan. Kate Jezalinko joins us for Kate's Plate, a dish best served cold. Across live to the hyphen, David Rhys-Jones for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front. We provide information on WA Blues supporters events, the weekly rack, and anything else in footy that we can squeeze into this hour. But first, Craig, we must thank our loyal sponsors.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. We thank the WA Blues major sponsor, Hyundai WA, Platinum sponsors Allmark and Associates, Master Picture Framers, and the Carlton Football Club, home in WA, the Empire Bar, at 220 Great Eastern Highway, Lather Lane, and a special thank you to Barbaro Butchers for their season raffle participation.
Thanks, Craig. Well, it's that time again, and we must bring in... Interesting. Good morning, Kate. How are you?
Good morning, how are you?
You're very well, very well. What's it like down in sunny Melbourne this morning?
It's not sunny, it is absolutely freezing, and I think it's going to be raining all day like it did yesterday. It's terrible.
Oh, that's not good, that's not good at all. That's not good.
Beautiful here in Perth, Kate.
Great, amazing. Thanks for that.
So tell us, Kate, what's been going on over there in Melbourne? Look, mate, the lockdown, some people, they're not taking it seriously, they think it's a hoax, conspiracy theory? What's the latest down there?
Geez, they've locked down, I think there's about 30-something or so suburbs, and they've locked them down due to the coronavirus spreading again. There's been a spike. Yep. And they're doing they're going around these suburbs and doing the testing, and there's about 10,000 people who've refused to do the test because they believe it's a conspiracy theory or... I don't know, the NBN brought it through the air to us from Bill Gates, or I don't know what they're doing. But they won't be tested, and because of that, they've gone back into lockdown. We're two streets away from one of the lockdown areas, which is a little bit frightening. But we're still free, but there's a lot that aren't. And they say this morning they're looking at shutting down another couple of suburbs, so it's a little bit terrible over here at the moment.
I saw that. I think it's
frightening.
Flemington and Kensington are the next two they're talking about, aren't they?
That's I've just read that before.
So how's your father? Because is he in one of those lockdown areas?
No, he's not. He's probably about 5 k's away from it. But see, my sister lives in one of the areas that's been locked down, so he can't go and visit her. He can't really come up here. There are police everywhere you go.
Oh, really?
Through these suburbs, they've got like the roads are blocked off, and they get just down the road here. They've got a police thing, and if you drive through that, you've got to tell them why you're going there, what you're doing, and if you don't, you know, can't explain yourself, it's a $1,600 fine or something like that. So it's all a bit terrible in Victoria at the minute.
Maybe they're looking for you, Kate.
Might be. They're not going to get me, though.
So how are you coping through it all? Like, it must be, like, I know over here, it's we're pretty much, I think as of July the 18th, life goes back to normal. But for you guys, I suppose, it's a bit different now. It's got to watch where you go.
You go to the supermarket and it's become the norm. It's so strange. It's become a norm that you walk around people, and in Melbourne we're big kisses to say hi and cuddles, and you just don't do that with your friends anymore. And, you know, you go to the supermarket and you see something, you know, and everyone stands back from each other. You cross the road, you use your elbow to push the thing on the buzzer thing. It's really, really, really strange. Every shop has the hand sanitizer, so you got to put that on. Even my kids know, you know, they've got hand sanitizer in their school bags to go to school. And I think the most concerning thing for me is homeschooling. I mean, I'm just not doing it. If they put us back into doing homeschooling, I am not doing it ever again in my life.
Disgusting, disgraceful.
So, Kate, but doesn't it all boil down to leadership? Because I know you've got that wonderful leader down there, Dan Andrews, not. Oh. Doesn't it come down to that?
I mean, I don't know. What can you do? They're blaming... I was reading the opposition leader this morning. I don't even know what his name was, but he's come out and he said, you know, they're using it as a political argument now to get one up on... I don't know. Maybe it does come down to leadership, but what can you do? There are people... They had that massive march here for the Black Lives Matter, you know.
That wouldn't have helped.
I think people need to take responsibility for themselves.
Yeah.
And the reality is, if you're not well, if you have a sore throat, if you've lost your sense of taste or smell or whatever the symptoms are, stay home, because the rest of us have to deal with it, you know?
Yeah.
And people are dying. This is not a conspiracy. People are actually dying from this virus all around the world.
Yeah.
And Australia got it under control very, very easily. But, you know, one person says, oh, well, my throat's just sore, I'll just run down the shops. And
bang, before you
all
know
of a sudden, you know...
Yeah.
It's spread.
Yeah, it's not good
at
all.
That's our problem.
It's not good at all.
Yeah, not good at all.
Yeah,
no.
We're definitely thinking of you all over there, because I've still got family over there. I've got my parents and my two kids over there, so I'm in constant contact with them. They are not in one of those lockdown areas at the moment, but who knows how quickly this thing spreads. Who knows how many suburbs are going to be in lockdown. But what we need to do, Kate, is we need to say, make sure that you take care, and your family and your children. Make sure that everything's safe with yourself. And
absolutely, thank you.
And thank you once again for joining us on Kate's Plate. I know it's a little bit different this week, but we thought we'd better talk about what is happening down there and the effects of this terrible pandemic and virus. And let's hope we can try and get you guys up and about, and so we can open up the borders. And so, especially as me, as a selfish point of view, I can come over and actually see my kids and my parents.
So I want to come over there against the month weather.
Well, yeah, look, I won't tell you, but it's only going to be 23 today. There's not a cloud in the sky.
Oh, go away.
And I just thought, you know, and I must admit, I'm sitting here and I've got shorts on and thong, but it's okay. It's all right here in Perth. So it's
good
right.
On you. Well done.
All right, Kate. Thanks
have
for
a wonderful day.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. Take care.
Stay safe, Kate.
See you guys.
See
have a great
mate.
Day.
Bye.
Bye.
There you go, Kate again. Very informative. We just thought we'd just ask her about that, because
she sounds really nervy about it, doesn't she? Like, she wasn't her normal.
Yeah, she's a bit concerned.
Yeah.
How could you not be scared over there, though?
Yeah.
Well, I've got family too in Warrnambool. Lucky enough, it's 3.5 hours away from Melbourne. But, you know, I know, obviously, my mum's 86, so if the slightest hint of something, as with your mum,
it'd
destroy them.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's a big worry that way. But you can actually hear her different tone.
Nervousness in her voice. Very concerned.
She wasn't her normal self today.
anyway, well, I'm glad she joined us and gave us a bit of a rundown of what's happening over there in Melbourne.
Yep.
So let's throw this over now to Paris. AFL News, Paris.
Yep, so I think the biggest thing in the news at the moment is all 10 Victorian AFL clubs will leave the state at the completion of the Round 5 commitments this weekend, with the return dates unknown. The AFL yesterday released Round 6 and 7 fixtures of the 2020 AFL season, with the Geelong-Brisbane Thursday night match at the SCG to commence round 6. All 9 matches of round 6 will be played in Sydney at the SCG and Giants Stadium, South East Queensland at the Gabba and Metricon Stadium, and in round 7, Perth Optus Stadium will be used for 2 games, Geelong versus Collingwood on the Thursday night, and then of course the Derby on the Sunday afternoon. Adelaide Oval will resume hosting matches with a Crows St Kilda match on Monday night, and 12 teams will be on the Gold Coast for round 6 matches. Fremantle, West Coast, Adelaide and Port Adelaide, who have already been there for the past month, St Kilda, Essendon, North Melbourne, GWS, Richmond, Sydney, Carlton and the Western Bulldogs. Geelong, Brisbane, Melbourne, Gold Coast, Collingwood and Hawthorn will be in Sydney.
So Paris, where's now the heartland of AFL football? Queensland.
Queensland.
Oh, God, there you go. Look, that's a good thing for the Victorian teams, because it'd be, as Kate said, freezing cold, wet in Melbourne, get up to the Sunshine State.
Exactly. So the AFL needed to get the 10 Victorian clubs out of the state due to the worrying spike in the COVID-19 infection rate, a situation which has seen other states either ban those clubs from entry, which we've seen with South Australia this week, or place the strictest regulations around their entry. So the changes for us in the round six, we were supposed to verse Sydney. Now we're versing Western Bulldogs at Metricon Stadium. And in round seven, we were set to head up to the Gold Coast to play Gold Coast. And now we're versing Port Adelaide at the Gabba. In other news, the AFL completed its investigation of the conduct of Collingwood players Still Sidebottom and Lyndon Dunn on the evening of Saturday 27th of June and the morning of Sunday 28th of June. The investigation concluded that both Sidebottom and Dunn had breached the return to play protocols, and there was a further breach of the AFL rules by Sidebottom, and as a result he was suspended for the next four matches, and Dunn has been suspended for Collingwood's next match. Not a shock that it is Collingwood players.
Now,
listen.
I'm not sure. Craig, you've probably done this. Have you got up to go to the toilet and walked out the wrong door and walked down the street? Wasn't that the excuse?
I've done that a few times at your house, but no, I can't say I ever have.
Okay.
No.
Sorry, Paris.
No.
Alistair Clarkson delivered a scathing review of the modern game, blaming the way it's been adjudicated for the dreadful spectacle it has become. In an extraordinary, unrelenting rant lasting more than 10 minutes, Clarkson restated his belief that more free kicks for incorrect disposals must be paid. Clarkson's comments came on the same day Geelong and Melbourne kicked four goals between them at half-time at their earlier match at the MCG. The CEO, Gillon McLachlan, backed up Clarkson's claims by saying umpires needed to pay more holding the ball decisions. I agree. We had so many tackles that should have been holding the ball the last two games have not been called.
Yeah, I think
but we didn't get one Thursday night either. Got a few paid against us, but
and I think if the umpiring's going to be bad, at least be consistently bad and not call the same thing or call it the whole time.
Yeah, totally agree.
Don't pick and choose.
The one is to be consistent. Don't call it one way and then go down the other end and call it the other way.
Exactly.
That's what frustrates you, I think.
After that comment by Clarkson and Gill I thought we would have seen a lot of holding the ball decisions, but we didn't. We didn't see any spike.
The umpiring was terrible the other night.
Yeah.
Well, Thursday night, the one before, I think it was Plowman got done.
Mm.
The commentator said, no, on the boundary line, someone tackled the St Kilda guy, he dropped it.
Yeah.
Play on, we grabbed it, bang, holding the ball, they get a goal.
Hey, at least we didn't give away another 90-metre penalty for nothing in the last 10 seconds.
Well, they got a 50-metre penalty for nothing in the last few seconds. But anyway, that's another story.
In the last of the AFL news, the match review panel has named a few players this week. Will Schofield from West Coast, obviously charged with headbutting Zach Butters, one match. Zach Merritt from Essendon was charged with striking Jack Silvani in the first minute of the game, and he got a one-match suspension.
Should have got four.
Not going to Cade Corn.
Jermaine Jones from West Coast Eagles was charged with striking Justin Westhoff with a $1,000 fine. Andrew McGrath, Essendon, charged with striking Sam Walsh, $750 fine. And then the brawl up in the Gold Coast, Pierce Hanley from Gold Coast Suns, Tuk Miller, Matt Tabanar from Fremantle, Caleb Sarong from Fremantle, all fined $500. Luke Ryan fined $1,200.
$2,500 for a melee.
Yeah. If you have a look, all the fines have been condensed because of the COVID-19 situation and all the pay reductions.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So, other than for Luke Ryan, he got fined a lot, but maybe he's done it before.
Yeah, maybe second or third offence.
Yeah, yep. Charlie Ballard from the Suns fined $1,000. Riley O'Brien from Adelaide Crows had been charged with rough conduct, a dangerous tackle on Jared Lyons, Brisbane Lions. $1,000 fine. And finally, Jai Simpkin from North Melbourne has been charged with striking, and it was a fixed financial sanction. And Tom Scully, sorry, also Hawthorne, $750 fine.
Geez, they're just racking up the money on these fines, the AFL. So
they've got to make it up from no ticket sales.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks for that, Paris. Well, Craig, over to you with the Blues injury updates and any Blues news.
Yeah, okay, we'll start off with the injuries. As we know, Charlie Curnow, season. Nick Newman, knee, season. Brody Kemp, knee, season. Matty Cruiser with his foot is still 8 weeks away. They're saying Caleb Marchbanks with his knees 2 weeks away. Paddy Dow, maybe 1 to 2 weeks. Zach Fisher was fit, but then got gastro.
Poor bugger.
Could have done with him, but anyway, yeah, he should be right for next week. Just with some of the Blues news, the Carlton Football Club looks forward to the opportunity announced by the AFL yesterday that we'll see the Blues enter a hub on the Gold Coast for at least the next fortnight. The initial fixtures announced yesterday will see Carlton take on the Bulldogs next Sunday at Metricon Stadium before facing the Power on July 19th at the Gabba. There is the possibility that the club will travel to another state once players and staff have completed this initial 14-day quarantine period in Queensland. Hopefully they come to WA.
Yeah, well, who knows? They did say... Did they mention that they're going to be up there for at least a month? And then Victorian's a team... They're going back to Victoria...
Yeah,
there may be a pause in the season. Who knows? Hopefully the situation down there eases a bit.
Eases a bit. Good.
But then, if not, they're going to have to be off to somewhere else to travel. So maybe we get to see them over here in WA. Who knows?
Yeah. And then just in closing, the Carlton CEO, Kane Little, wrote to members in an email yesterday revealing the playing group were very determined to make the most of the challenge before them. From day one, since this was a possibility, our entire football club has embraced the concept and has viewed this as a real opportunity for us, Little said. We have a tight-knit playing group, so the opportunity to get away together, make those connections even stronger and use this upcoming period to do everything possible to continue to improve our on-field performance is something our players are genuinely excited about. Hopefully it's starting the game when it starts, not after half-time. So, yeah. But, yeah, so there's a bit going on there, so... just hopefully if they do get away, they get that tight knit, that they can get this issue resolved for the late starts.
Thanks, Craig. Thank you. Thanks for that. Now, Paris, let's get on to something positive and let's review the Blues Bombers game from last Saturday night.
How good. Like last week, the Blues were once again able to get the fast start with Levi Casbolt not wasting any time in getting his first goal of the game. Ed Curnow was given the job on Essendon's dangerous midfielder Dylan Scheel and was able to hold him accountable and restrict him to just 5 disposals for the whole game. The same forward half pressure was on display once again, with Carlton's forwards ensuring that the opposition defenders did not have it easy. And the Blues weathered a storm from the Bombers to turn the momentum in their favour and take a 5-point lead in the first break. McGovern provided a spark with his first goal, while Gibbons collected 9 first-quarter disposals. The Bombers claimed the early ascendancy in the second quarter, kicking 2 early goals to take an early lead. But David Cunningham provided some much-needed run through the middle of the ground and looked to combine with Eddie Betts to give the Blues some relief. Cunningham would finish with 19 disposals in the first half. Levi Casbolt's second goal of the game, a stunning snap from 40 metres out, was rewarding for a building Blues who had managed to lock the ball in their forward half. Mitch McGovern's second goal came at an important time and gave the Blues a 7-point lead going into the half. The Blues had their chances early in the third term, with repeated forward 50 entries resulting in 2 shots on goal from each Levi Casbolt and David Cunningham. The game continued to become more contested as the quarters progressed, and the Blues' backline were at their absolute best, limiting the impact of the likes like Jake Stringer and Anthony McDonald Tippin Woody, while providing measured rebound to propel the team into attack. Walsh and Cripps were able to find more ball in the middle, and the Blues were hurt by inaccuracy in front of the goals, while a late goal to Stringer tied up the game heading into the final quarter. Essendon had the perfect start to the term, kicking the first 2 goals of the quarter to take the early advantage. However, on the ball, Mark Murphy's brilliance and the Blues were able to steady the ship and kick goals through Jack Martin and Levi Casbolt. An important contested possession for first gamer Sam Flipp helped the Blues clear the ball from the back line, while Mark Pitternet was once again a big influence, helping the Blues reclaim ascendancy in the middle of the ground. A point to Mitch McGovern gave the Blues a 1-point lead late into the game, and then a shot by Essendon's Jacob Townsend could not have come closer to the dashing Blues' hopes, but unfortunately it hit Liam Jones' head on the way in and was done for a point. The Blues were led by the personal brilliance of David Cunningham, Levi Casbolt and Sam Doherty, who were crucial for the win, and the moment of the match was when Mark Murphy lifted the Blues to when it needed the most. The veterans surged into the final quarter to win repeated 50-50 contests, which resulted in 2 goals, including Casbolt's 3rd, which would tie the game halfway through the quarter. So 3 things from the game. Carlton's backline is much better with Sam Doherty. David Cunningham enjoyed perhaps one of the best games of his career, and it's another week and another close game. The Blues have proven they're able to keep their wits and not give up the fight when the momentum is against them. So the final score was Essendon 8-3-51 to the Blues 7-10-52.
Very, very comprehensive roundup there, Paris.
Oh, it does continue.
Yeah, slip of the tongues.
And it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you. Anyway, thanks for that. Well, look, it's time now. We've got to go for a well-earned break and a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, we cross live to our very special guest, Grace Egan.
Go Paris Blues. WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor.
Perth Window and Door Replacement Company remain your prestige conversions and replacement specialist since 1983. With an extensive range of products and services, they pride themselves on their ability to tailor solutions to your individual requests. Not just proud supporters of the Mighty Blues, they are respected members of the Australian Glass and Window Association, ready to serve you with the highest standards and integrity. So for your next sliding, bifold, French, awning, security screen, doors or windows, trust only Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Station sponsor.
With over 20 years of experience, Laird Blair Buckingham, your master framer, helped make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. A display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2020 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers, Cannington. Come see us today.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Your WA Blues are the official Carlton Football Club member network of Western Australia, established since 1992. In season 2020, we can't wait for our eventual return to the WA home of the Blue Baggers Empire, where we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, food and drink specials for the Baggers, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. Information on the WA Blues supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues!
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues. Now it's time to cross live to our special guest, WA Blues sponsored player, Grace Egan. Good morning, Grace, and welcome back to Breakfast with the Blues. And we've lost Grace. Okay, Craig, while we're trying to fix Grace, can you please give us a review of last week's game?
Okay, unfortunately, it's the St Kilda game, which, anyway, wasn't a good day for us. But both teams took a measured start to the first quarter, with neither team willing to take unnecessary risks. Some undisciplined play from the Blues resulted in a number of free kicks to St Kilda and helped them take an early two-goal lead. The Saints led inside 50 count, 13-8, including 9 marks to 2 in the forward line. Again, disappointing for a bad start for us, but two more.
Come on, Craig.
Sorry, I thought my mic went off.
No,
it looked though as if that was going to, the turn was completely dominated by the Saints before our veteran Eddie Betts was able to register the first goal for the Blues. A couple of quick goals to the Saints took it to a 32-point lead in the second quarter. Carlton then come out firing in the third with pushing Paddy Cripps up forward. Jack Martin again got going as well. Sam Phillip will set a field goal. Jack Martin was pretty good as well. But all up, I think it was just a bit of a disappointing game, but to fall short by 18 points was probably a little bit, not probably justice, but a bit disappointing. But
yeah, it was disappointing all over, mate. But
just one of those games.
One of those games, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, we've got her back on the lines. Now time to cross live to WA Blues sponsored player Grace Egan. Grace, a very good morning to you and welcome back to Breakfast with the Blues.
Morning, boys.
Good morning, Grace.
Good
How are you?
Good to have you back on, Grace.
I'm good.
That's good. Look, Grace, just quickly, before I hand you over some questions to the panel, what are you currently doing in these weird and wonderful times, especially down there in country Victoria?
Honestly, just been taking the time off, but also just trying to train and catch up with the girls as much as possible. And, yeah, I suppose just train as much as we can, as good as we can, I suppose, because you can't really train like normal yet.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, it must be very difficult. If you do you train on your own or?
Or I've been training on my own, so doing our good conditioning sessions by myself. But we've been able to get back in the gym and get in like groups of three or four, so and be able to train together. So that's all I've been up to.
Fair enough. I'll throw you over to Paris.
Hey, Grace, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. I've seen a lot of AFL women's players on Instagram all working together in high-vis and steel caps. What are you guys actually doing?
So we're just at a factory called Border Express. Just everyone's parcels for businesses and stuff. We're all working in there all together. So, yeah, that's about it.
And how'd you guys get that gig, or did the AFL just set that up for you all?
So most of us are managed by Alex Thorntree, and as soon as all this coronavirus hit, she was straight onto it to help us girls without us being stressed about money. So she got us a job at Border Express, offered it to all the girls that she manages, and yeah, it just went from there, which is pretty awesome by her.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
Good morning, Craig. Craig.
Good morning, Craig. Hey.
I've only just said last this morning how I haven't made a mistake, and then
sorry. What did you say then, Grace?
Last time, Maddie. This time, Craig.
True. Yes.
You just make me nervous, Grace.
Nah, that's all right.
I was only bragging this morning now I hadn't made a mistake, and then lo and behold, I call you Craig. You poor girl.
Yeah, oh my God.
You poor girl.
Her nickname's Greg, not Craig.
I've just
gave her a new one. But anyway, look, Grace. Last time we spoke to you, we got some. We had to do a interview with Katie Loynes as well, and you gave us a little bit of dirt. Did you get much backlash off Katie from that, or?
No, not really, actually, no? Which I'm pretty surprised about. I'm pretty sure she gives it to me enough that I can say a little bit about her as a joke.
Yeah, it was quite a good. It was a good interview with you. Then when we threw those questions at Katie, she had a fair idea where the info had come from.
Yeah. No, she's pretty awesome. I love Katie.
Hey, so Grace, you talked about your training routine. Can you sort of tell the listeners exactly what type of routine is? What do you have to do? Like, how long does it go for? What type of regime is it?
Can you what do I need to do to get drafted next season?
Paris wants to know what she needs to do to be drafted next year.
So what exactly I'm doing at the moment?
Correct, yeah.
We've been doing two gym sessions a week, or two to three gym sessions, with two running sessions as well, with a third option running session as well.
Okay.
And in those running sessions, you have footy skills and footy sessions to do as well. So you're not just running around an oval; you've got a football as well. So you're getting a bit of a feel of everything. You're not kind of losing your touch from where you left off, I suppose.
That's good.
So have you been able to get back to the Carlton Footy Club as such to do much training, or with your gym work, do you go to a private gym yourself, or does the club say, look, this is what you've got to do, or how's that working out?
So we haven't been let back at the club since our last Sunday game where we got told it was all over, so my boots are still in my locker, which is amazing. So we haven't been allowed back there, which is pretty unfortunate, but we're pretty lucky to have our S&C coaches from the club who have their own private gyms, which we've been able to set up programs and set times where we can go train at his private gym, where it's like with the appropriate rules at the moment and stuff.
On a football perspective, obviously this season you guys were really good and came, close and had momentum, and then the season got shut down. Does that make you guys want it even more next season?
Oh, 100%. Especially after the season we had and how awesome it was, and the feel around the club was just amazing. So to have it taken away from us, I think it's just going to make us thrive on that and just make us want to go out even harder next season.
So with the current shutdowns at the moment, Grace, with Melbourne, have you snuck back to home?
Yeah, I sneak back to home. I'm not in the lockdown area, so I'm allowed to sneak back home. No, my area I'm just missed it, so I can sneak around still at the moment. So I've been sneaking home a fair bit and, yeah, just trying to balance it out. So once footy season comes around again, I'll give my all and, yeah, I've had my time at home.
Yeah, it's funny because we'll just moment or just before when we started the show, we spoke to Kate Jezelenko, and she's only like two streets from the shutdowns. And normally Kate's this bubbly out there, but you could tell by the tone of her voice that there's that real worry there. So it must be a horrible time living, because I'm a Victorian as well. So it must be strange times back there.
Yeah, I mean, it's really stressful. It's stressful for everyone because you just don't know what is going to happen, or you can plan something or plan when something starts, and then, like what just happened, the virus has broke out again, so then it gets rescheduled. So it's pretty stressful. And then for them to lock down part of the Melbourne and the other part to be left open, like, it's just, everything's just so up in the air. And Yeah, I mean, it takes a toll after a while, like, because you don't know what to do or what to expect.
Yeah, it must be terrible down there. But listen, with the news that all the Victorian clubs have got to move interstate, and with the men's team moving up to the Gold Coast into a hub, would that be similar to, like, when you got, like, I'm going back to probably one of your best wins this year, early in the year, was when you actually went to Alice Springs when you defeated Melbourne. Was that something where you girls actually bonded more because you were away together and not just turning up to a game on the ground? Did that help?
Yeah, I think it helps, yeah, because you're surrounded by the girls. You get to know the girls a bit more. You're all eating dinner together the night before, so you can sit there, talk about your life, or you can talk about the footy, the game that you have the next day, and get the feels for everyone. So I suppose, yeah, it made our team a lot stronger, as you could tell out on the field, yeah.
It's strange, when you look at the men's teams that are in the Gold Coast Hub at the moment, you see that, like, Port Adelaide have thrived, whereas West Coast seem to be sooking. So it really is the mindset and the leadership, I think, is the best way to say and see how they stay positive and to make it like a success and a good closer bonding session.
Yeah, well, you could either take it as a positive or just take it as a negative and hate it. Like, you could go up there and it's only for the boys. Oh, well, for now, they only reckon it's for a few months, and you can take it and give your all for those 2 months, knowing you'll come home to your family and stuff. But some might take it as, like, they're away from their family, so they're not enjoying it as much. Yeah. So it's hard to know until you're there, sort of thing.
Yeah, look, when you're at the AFLW season starts up again, now, if this thing hasn't gone away, there's every possibility that you girls might have to go to a hub and maybe have to go to a Queensland, or even better, WA, come over and see us.
Yeah.
What would your thoughts be now? Like, there's some girls there that would obviously be mothers and et cetera, et cetera. Now, there'd have to be some tough decisions be made if that was the case.
Yeah, it would be a very tough decision, I suppose. If you seen your whole team was committed and lots of the girls were all for it, you would want to do it as well with them, knowing that they would be there to support you while you're away.
Yeah.
But it's just, if you have a positive team around you, you'll do it 100%. So, I suppose it's just who's around you and who supports you with what decision you make or what decision you're wanting to make.
Yeah, I think you're right again. And I touched on it earlier, leadership. I think you need that support and you need someone driving in to be the leader. And because every human is different, we're all individuals and everyone has a different situation. So you need someone strong that, if that's the case, that would happen.
Yeah, that's what I reckon as well.
So during the break, and obviously with this COVID thing, has Half been in contact with the girls personally just to set targets and goals for them, or is it just left to yourself? Or
he hasn't called us just to, like, set targets and push us all that much. He's just more so calling us to support us, see how we are, see if we need help. Like, that sort of stuff. None of the coaches are really pushing us to do anything at the moment, because they know all us girls are motivated ourselves, and lots of us girls in the team will always catch up and praying together, so they know we're doing it. It's just more so there for, they're there for the support at the moment and help us just enjoy the time off but still work as hard as we normally do.
Hey, Grace, we know that we saw that skit on social media at the end of your season. Have you girls got anything else planned, or is there anything else in the making that we're going to look forward to?
The old nut bush.
The old nut bush.
As in our old nut bush dance?
Yes, yes, the nut bush, yes.
No, we don't have anything planned as of yet, but everything just comes as a surprise, so you never know what's next, really.
Fair enough. You would have been good to hear, I think it was last week, not this week, where the AFL come out and said the AFLW will resume and it'll be exactly the same as it was this year, which is a good positive thing. As the club, as Craig's asked a lot of questions, but is there anything else that the club has asked you to do, or when do you actually start? I know it's hard to say now with the coronavirus and everything down there in Melbourne, but when is your actual official start date to start training back at the club, even though you're doing your work now, but when you get to back into like pre-season training?
Yeah, so all AFL teams have been told that we're allowed to go back from the 13th of July or around that date in July, so it's just up to what the clubs decide to do, and if they're allowed at the clubs or if they've got another option of training at an outside oval of some sort. So it's just up to each club and what they can provide for us girls, I suppose.
And is it blanketed over all the teams? So obviously in WA we don't have many restrictions anymore, so Freo and West Coast would be able to train like normal. Does that say anything about that? So because it's unfair then on the Victorian clubs?
They haven't said anything like that. No, we just keep getting updated on what's allowed for us and our own team. But yeah, we don't really know much about all the other teams and where everyone else is at. Yeah,
that's a really good call that Paris made, because if you remember if you can remember at the start, the AFL, the men's AFL season, they wouldn't. Whereas other states had different restrictions, they made a blanket that you could only do one thing, and it was just like that. So that may come into play, because you don't want one club getting one extra advantage, I'd say.
No, you wouldn't want an advantage.
Yeah. So anyway, Grace, we better wrap it up there. We've probably kept you on the phone way too long, but it's good to have you back and have a chat.
It's awesome to catch up with you. Thank you.
We look forward to when you girls actually come over
to WA. Be good.
We'll come and support you girls.
Trip over there.
Yeah, and let me tell you, the weather's nice and warm over here at the moment too, even though it is winter. But look, what we've got to say is, again, thank you very much for giving up your time. And on behalf of the WA Blues community, we thank you very much for your time you gave up this morning. And we also would like to make sure that you look after yourself, stay healthy with your family.
Stay safe.
Everything down there, and stay safe. And as we always say on this show, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Grace.
See ya.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Grace.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye. Grace Egan, she's wonderful. Give her time up again.
Yeah. Yep.
Sorry, what was her name again? Craig?
Grace.
Okay, it's time once again to go for a break and get a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, we get our great mate, David Rees-Jones. Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official Carlton Football Club member network of Western Australia, established since 1992. In season 2020, we can't wait for our eventual return to the WA home of the Blue Baggers Empire, where we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, food and drink specials for the baggers, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. Information on the WA Blues supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues!
With over 20 years of experience, Laird Blair Buckingham, your master framer, helped make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. A display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2020 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers, Cannington. Come see us today.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, Who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave. Print. Identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Perth Window and Door Replacement Company remain your prestige conversions and replacement specialists since 1983. With an extensive range of products and services, they pride themselves on their ability to tailor solutions to your individual requests. Not just proud supporters of the Mighty Blues, they are respected members of the Australian Glass and Window Association, ready to serve you with the highest standards and integrity. So for your next sliding, bifold, French, awning, security screen, doors or windows, trust only Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues. It's now time to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here at Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, and the man who personifies everything that Bleeding Blue means, as we barrel shoulder first in the shirt front, David Rhys-Jones. But before we bring him in...
Jones plays. Oh, what a mark!
First time in my career I'd actually been given instructions to get out and whack someone.
He's been reported.
Rhys-Jones just came in.
They're having a go now.
I'm glad I'm in Melbourne.
Good morning, David, and welcome to the Breakfast with the Blues. And how are you today, mate?
Yeah, not bad. Yeah. A bit cool and wet and cold and typical Melbourne day over here today. But other than that, all good. But, it wasn't good on Thursday night, was it? It wasn't too good at all.
Mate, we went from chocolates to boiled lollies all in the space of 5 days.
Real quick.
Yeah. Look, I think with a youngish team, you might get that from time to time. But I thought we were starting to get a bit more consistency in our performance. And, but especially early in that game, St Kilda really took it up to us and we really showed a lack of fight, I suppose, and it was a little bit disappointing.
Mate, it's like, we went back to the start of the Melbourne game. Yeah. Like, we weren't ready for it.
No, and it's hard to understand that. It just takes us so long to get into playing the style of game they want to play from the start, but, when they get jumped by teams, they seem to panic a bit, and to St Kilda's credit, we really couldn't get our hands on the ball. I mean, it was they had all the play and were dominating, but I'd like to see us toughen up a bit in those situations, and I get disappointed by a big blokes at times too. I think you really need your big blokes to get in there and even be bullies, I suppose, at times, but I think our guys don't tend to be that way, and it sort of projects right through the team.
Yeah, the forward line, especially the talls, they were pretty insipid, weren't they?
Yeah, it was. From what Casbolt, done the week before, and yep. All three of them really, McGovern, Casbolt, and McCoy were unsighted throughout that. And there's one thing about football, you've got to get out there and do something. I mean, don't just run around out there for 100 minutes and say it wasn't your day or whatever, because there's certainly times you can have some sort of impact, a crushing tackle or splitting a pack open, or especially that big blokes, get in there and do something,
There was an incident, you're talking about tackling, which if you have a look, when we are poor, the majority of our team have one or no tackles. And what I can't believe is, and I don't know what they're training down there, but normally if someone's coming with a ball, you tackle. I saw some guy, I can't remember who it was at Carlton, bump someone
McGovern.
Instead of tackling.
McGovern did it twice.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, influence the game. Lay a tackle. It can inspire something. And I just think we've got too many, as you said, too many that just sort of sit back and wait for something to happen and then they go instead of actually influencing it.
Yeah, to be perfectly honest, since we've come back from the break, right across the board, all the games I'm looking at, I mean, the tackling is the one thing that's really dropped off. Yeah. And I don't know why. It could be because, they're probably not getting enough contact work at training and so forth because of the restrictions imposed on them. But, right across the board, I reckon the tackling is one of the areas that's really dropped off. Over the course of it.
So I'm going to talk about the positive game first. So Essendon, how did you cope with those last couple of minutes? Because at the Empire, we were all pacing around, turning away, jumping up and down, hugging each other. It was all sorts of emotions. So how did you go watching that?
Well, I sat there and I thought, we've dominated this game. How can they possibly still be in it? And,
yeah.
and I thought, you know, over the course of the whole game, we seemed to dominate Essendon. And really, I mean, it, looking at it, looked like we should have been 5 or 6 goals up. And, you know, it's one of those other things where, you know, scoring seems to have, you know, we've come back from the COVID stuff and you know, they're low-scoring games. It's very low-scoring. So, I don't know what it is at the moment. It just footy's not the same. It's just not good. And I think Alistair Clarkson brought up last week. It's not even good to watch, you know, at the moment. So, you know, and that Essendon game in particular, I just, you know, I thought, geez, if we get beat in this, it'll be, you know we really deserve to win it. So, and we hung in there by a point in the end.
I can tell you what, Dave, we had a function at the Empire Bar. I think we had over 100-odd...
Yeah, about 120
Carlton
people.
..supporters, and it went off. At the end of that
yep.
game, it went off, mate.
I think especially because it was Essendon's error that forced it to be a win. Made it so
you're
much better.
Probably talking to the two guys that went off the worst.
Yeah, people often say what's better than beating, you know, Essendon by 10 goals, beating them by 1 point, so we'll cop that one.
Yeah. It's interesting you're talking just before about our forward line, Dave, and the guys not making a presence. One for me, which I really like to see, is Big Harry actually make a presence. To me, he looks soft, doesn't want to do the hard stuff. It's like it's the hard stuff to me is always left up to, don't worry, Levi will crash that pack, instead of him actually saying, this time it's going to be me.
Yep. Oh, definitely. And he's got to be taught that. He's got to be taught that
he's
got to be the big, strong bloke out there, and told that by the coaching panel, by the forward coaches, whoever's looking up. He needs to have a physical presence out on that footy field, and once he does that, his output is going to be so much better, and it brings our smaller forwards into it as well because.
Yeah.
He becomes predictable, and they know they can get to the front of the packs, and he's going to, you know, he's going to be the man who's going to stand there and dominate. And you looked at the other end of the field, and the kid King, who's probably a similar, similar type of player, I suppose, and he was able to get his hands on the ball and dictate things to us, Harry really needs to stand up.
I actually think King wanted the footy too.
Yep. Look, I mean, he there was one stage I think it was Wittering went against him, and his reach is just so.
Yeah.
And Harry's is the same.
Once
you get and you run and jump and get those hands extended, you can't stop that. And Wittering, you know, he was probably a foot away from spoiling, and that's what Harry should be doing as well.
Yeah, but Dave, our delivery in the forward line is not good. I mean, our first option is to bomb it to the forward line instead of lowering the eyes and seeing who's available. And it happened all night on Thursday night, so I don't want to defend the Talls, but the delivery was terrible to them.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with you there. But you can't expect it on a silver plate
every time
either.
No.
You've got to, a bloke like Kernahan, who I played with, was just sensational. Just being a presence out there, and you knew you put, you know, you'd look for guys like that. I mean, I grew up barracking for Richmond. I remember Royce Hart. You know, he was my hero sort of thing as a kid growing up. And he, they just kicked the ball to him, and he just competed and contested and went hard at it. And that's what the great players do, and they never give up on it. You put the ball up and out in front of guys and give them a run at it. I mean, that's the way to deliver it into the forward line, and that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
One thing I saw in a lot of the Carlton discussion groups after the Saturday night's game against the Bombers was talking about Sam Philp and how he made lots of errors.
Yep.
Obviously, it was his first game. He was versing the Bombers. What do you think? Do you see potential in him, or do you think that was just stage fright in his debut?
Yeah, look, it could have been. He looked a bit fumbly, and he wasn't obviously wasn't impressive in his first game, and he might have been a little bit of nerves there. He might need a little bit more time learning in the lower grades and getting his confidence up there. Really hard to tell, but I don't know. You know, I played my first game with South Melbourne. I only played half a game. They brought me on, and I did okay. Kicked a couple of goals and did okay. So, you know, I mean, I just went at it. And I think that's, you know, don't be scared of, you know, getting out and making mistakes, because, you know, the kids can go into their shell, but everyone's different too, you know. He looked like when he did make a couple of errors, and they were pretty poor errors, he sort of just went back in his shell and didn't look to go to compete after that, if you know what I mean.
I thought he played a bit better Thursday night.
But
he'd done a couple of good things, yeah.
Yeah. But that's a bit of leadership too, isn't it, David? That someone needs to go, come on, pick yourself up. We all make errors, you know, get to the next contest, that type of thing. Because I don't see that a lot with Carlton. I don't see a lot of people running over and, you know, a bit of talk, a bit of congratulate. I don't see a lot of it when you see other teams. I may be seeing it through blue and white eyes, but that's just my perception of that. Your thoughts on that?
Well, and Thursday night was a perfect example of St Kilda targeted Cripps, yep, and they targeted Doherty, mm-hmm, and they took our two leaders out of the game. And who stood up after that?
Yeah. No one.
I mean, I thought Jack Martin was really good.
Yeah.
I thought he was terrific.
He played well.
I think he's going to be a real star for us in the future, and, you know, if he keeps going the way he's going. But, no one in there stood up.
No.
You know, and you know, Eddie had a poor game. I mean, down 40 is one of our more senior guys, I suppose. Simo's another one, and you know, and you're looking around and going, who's going to stand up with the Murph? You know, the guys who should have didn't.
Yeah, and it happens. It continually happens. So we just need something. I don't know. We either need to get someone in there that can actually do it, or that it has that type of thing in them, or we're just going to keep doing this type of mediocre performance. Even though I think we have definitely improved, but we still have those letdowns, and it's exactly what you just said.
Yeah, and it's up to everyone to take responsibility. I mean, you can't rely on Paddy Cripps to go out and get the ball 30, 40 times a game. I mean, it's just not going to happen, and teams are going to target him, and that's where you need to help him as much as he, you know, helps you guys around the field. So, but then, you know, if he is taken out of the game, or he's injured, or something happens, someone else has to stand up, and that's where, you know, you need to take a bit of responsibility and take it on yourself and say, well,
yep,
Margaret, it's going to be me this time. I'm going to stand up and show him how it's done. And, you know, we've got some blokes who've played a fair amount of footy, up over 100 games, and that they're the ones who should be responsible for it, not the kids.
One decision that confused me Thursday night, David, and you'd probably be an expert on this one, is Mark Murphy's report, and then second, the 50-metre penalty. Oh, was that the softest ever 50 and report you've ever seen?
Look, I don't like talking about umpires.
they were terrible.
I thought early in the game, I thought they rough end of the stick as well. I didn't think we got, you know, the 50-50s went against us, and it just didn't seem to be. But you know, I was almost ready to throw me stubby through the television.
I said that this morning to Chris.
But
I
had to stop. It was one of those, you know, one of those games where nothing worked for us, and we fought our way back, and as the season is, you know, St Kilda probably dominated that game and looked like an 8-goal winner and end up winning by 3. So that's the way the system's working at the moment. You know, you're never quite out of the game. Mm.
The one positive that I took out of Thursday night's game, and it was only in patches, we can actually see what Will Setterfield can do. I thought some of the centre clearances and a couple of those goals he got was actually a sign that he's actually on the way up.
Yeah, I think he's had a full season last year. Look, he's had some injuries and so forth, but yeah. He's once again, he's at that age where he's got to compete hard, and you know, if Paddy Cripps isn't the one going in getting the ball and extracting it out of you know, the heavy traffic, then he's got to be the one to do it, and he's got to be doing it consistently week in, week out. So until he starts doing that and picking up his 20 plus possessions per game, because that's what midfielders are supposed to do. You know, that's week in, week out. You know, the kid Walsh, Sam Walsh, he's got a little bit of the second year blues. Yep. I think he's going to, you know, I think he's still a star and he's going to come good. But, you know, it's come a bit harder for him this year, and it can happen to players in their second year as well. So, you know, he needs to lift as well. So there's quite a few of them who are down on form.
Yeah.
Well, the only good thing, mate, is they get to go on a nice holiday up to the sunny Sunshine Coast and get out of cold, drizzly Melbourne, and hopefully they can actually perform and they bond together and we get some decent wins on the go. Mate, you sound a little bit flat down there. Everything all right down there? How's the family?
No, the family's not here, so that's one good thing. No, I'm not down at all. I'm going all right. I suppose the real flattening bit was just our performance on Thursday. I thought it was pretty disappointing all round. And after the Essendon game, you think too. You know, we could have something here, and you know, hopefully they can put another one together. And I think that's what they really need to start doing. Putting good performances consistently week in, week out. And not being touched up like I thought we were on Thursday night.
Yeah, totally agree. Anyway, mate, we better wrap it up there. Once again, thanks very much for giving up your precious time today. And hopefully, we won't have a game. We play next Sunday, so we won't be talking about it. We'll have to talk about something else. We'll probably talk about how good the umpires are going, mate. Anyway, once again, thanks for joining us. Mate, keep safe down there in Melbourne. Hopefully everything's okay. And as you always say, mate, go Blues.
Go Blues.
See
ya. No worries, guys.
See you,
Reece. Thanks very much.
See you, David.
Go Blues.
Bye-bye. Bye. David Rees-Jones again, always good, always honest.
Yes.
Paris, we haven't got long to go. Let's just quickly go through the upcoming round.
Yep, so this morning at Metricon Stadium, we've got Eagles versus the Swans. I'm going to go for the Swans.
Swans.
Later this afternoon at GMHBA Stadium, Cats versus Suns. And before I give a tip, let's just say it's Selwood's 300th, Ablett's 350th, and Matt Rowe's fifth game.
Suns.
I'm going to go the Cats.
Cats. Nah.
Don't like Cats.
Suns have to travel. They're not going to win. Bulldogs versus the Roos at Marvel Stadium this evening. Bulldogs.
Bulldogs.
Bulldogs, just.
Lions versus Port at the Gabba this evening. I'm going for the Lions.
Brisbane.
Lions.
Crows versus Dockers at Metricon tomorrow morning.
Dockers.
Crows.
Who cares?
Demons, Tigers at MCG tomorrow. Demons.
Tigers.
Demons.
And Giants, Hawks at Giants Stadium tomorrow afternoon. And I'm going for GWS.
Hawks in an upset.
GWS.
Too many injuries.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, thanks for that. Well, that is the end of our show today. So once again, we need to thank everyone for another great show, guys. A couple of little slip-ups, but we'll keep it good.
Poor Grace.
Yeah. Grace or Craig. Anyway, we also have to thank Kate Jezelenko, of course, our great mate David Rees-Jones, special guest interview today, Grace Egans. And as we always say here on Blues...
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go the Blues.
The Blues. And they will know that they've been playing against the famous